the very mediator and savior that we need, who's got all the perfect credentials, qualifications, God has provided. Let's confess our faith in Jesus. Lord's Day 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 874 in the back of the red songbooks. Jesus, the perfect mediator and savior between God and man. We've seen that to be qualified to be our mediator, he must be fully God, and he must be fully man, and a sinless man at that. So question 16 asks, why must the mediator be a true and righteous man, sinless man? Because God's justice requires that human nature which has sinned must pay for its sin. But a sinner could never pay for others. Why must he also be true God? So that by the power of his divinity, he might bear in his humanity the weight of God's wrath and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. Then who is this mediator? True God and at the same time a true and righteous man. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given to us for our complete deliverance and righteousness. How do you come to know this? The Holy Gospel tells me. God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and foreshadowed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. And finally, he fulfilled it through his own beloved Son. And then let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Begin to read at verse 9 and read through verse 18. Hebrews 2, verse 9, page 1864. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, too, shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Look again at verse 16 and 17. Surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. May God bless this word to our hearts and lives. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I am happy to announce to you that the very Savior that you need, with all the right qualifications, has been provided to you and to me. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only qualified mediator and savior, but he's for all people. And this is what makes Christianity a missionary religion, because we have the only hope for all nations. We have the good news of the only hope for all nations, Jesus Christ. Long ago, God told Abraham to offer up his one and only son, Isaac. the son he loved, to offer him up to God as an offering, as a burnt offering. Abraham, I want you to kill your son Isaac. So Abraham obeyed the Lord. He went with Isaac to the place God showed him, Mount Moriah. And there they got to Mount Moriah, he and Isaac, and some wood and pot of fire. They built an altar. They put wood on it. And then Abraham tied Isaac to the altar. And he raised his knife to kill Isaac and offer him as a whole burnt offering to God. And while his knife was still raised to kill his son, suddenly God intervened. He sent an angel to Abraham to tell him to stop and let his son go. So Abraham stopped and he untied his son from the altar. And then he lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And he grabbed that ram and he tied that ram to the altar instead and offered it to God as a burnt offering. And then he called that place Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The Lord has provided the one and only sacrifice that pays for sin. And it's not the ram. It's not Isaac. It's not the ram. But the ram is the picture of the one that God will one day provide to Abraham, but also from Abraham's household. He will come from Abraham's family tree, Jesus Christ. Not just anybody can save you from your sins, beloved. You and I need somebody very special, very unique, very qualified to mediate for you and to atone for your sins. And God has provided that lamb, his own son. Isaac was spared, but God did not spare his own son. But delivered him up for us all, says the Bible. In our quest for salvation, we're taught to reject false mediators who can't pay the price we owe God for our sin. Infinite and eternal punishment. But we also now get to meet the true mediator God has provided, God's shocking gift to mankind, who is secondly our real brother and our faithful high priest, his shocking gift of Jesus Christ, who's our real brother and our faithful high priest. The Lord surprised Abraham by providing a ram caught in a thicket. Of course, the ram can't pay for sin, but that was a picture and prophecy of the Savior whom God would provide, who would pay for sin. God's one and only Son, our mediator, sent to stand in our place, sent in a most surprising and marvelous and unexpected and shocking way. The Lord provided exactly the one we needed. Isaac wasn't the one. He was just an ordinary human being, a sinful member of Adam and Eve's fallen race. But many years and many generations later, about 2,000 years later, Abraham had another son, a boy named Jesus, the seed of Abraham. But he wasn't an ordinary son, because he was also God's eternal son. Equal to God, one with God from all eternity. And he also became Abraham's son. And that's who we read of in Hebrews 2. It's surely not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers. He had to become one of Abraham's descendants. The eternal Son of God joined the fallen human race and also became Abraham's son. And this time, God the Father tied his one and only son to an altar of wood, the cross. And though he used wicked hands of injustice to tie Jesus to that tree, to that altar, Isaiah 53 says that it pleased God to bruise his son. God tied his son to that tree. And God stabbed him through and killed him. He did not spare his son like Isaac was spared. That's the shocking gift. It was so shocking it offended people. And they said, this can't be. But we argue, it could only be that way. That's what Hebrews is saying. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. It had to be this way. There is no other way for God to save sinners than this. Some people think, well, Jesus coming and dying on the cross and rising again is one of many options. God can do anything. Hebrews is saying it had to be this way. God's justice and truth demand that it be done this way. Because salvation takes the road of justice, beloved. Justice means that your sins can't be forgotten. They can't be swept under the carpet. They can't be just shoved aside or pretended away. They have to be paid for in full by the mankind that committed it. The wages of sin is death. Everyone owes to God a legal debt of death. Not just physical death, but real death. Which means eternal separation from God under eternal punishment. That's death. The wages of sin is death. In order for atonement to be made, for us to be right with God, we have to pay that wage. Or somebody has to pay it in our place, but it has to be paid in full. We can't get out of paying it because God is holy. But who can pay such a debt? Can Isaac? Can a ram? Can we? We saw last week that no one here on earth can pay it. It's impossible to pay it. We can't pay for it ourselves. Another person can't pay for us either. Another ordinary person on earth. Not your mom and not Mary and not your dad and not the Pope. Not an animal and not an angel. The ransom of a soul is too costly, says Psalm 49. Nobody can pay for it. Only God can. Only God can. And that's why he sent his son. And that's why his son had to be made like his brothers in every way. True God and true man united in one person, our Lord Jesus Christ. He had to be the son of God and he had to be the son of Abraham. It wasn't enough that Jesus become an angel and come because he didn't come to save angels. He came to save Abraham's descendants, so he had to become one of Abraham's descendants in order really to be our representative, really take our place. Really pay our price. And he did, for God so loved the world like this. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so we read in verse 14 of Hebrews 2, since the children that Jesus came to save have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. He too became one of the children of Abraham, flesh and blood. He too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Abraham's God also became Abraham's son, our brother. And that's what we see secondly. God became our brother. I love that verse. If you just look at that a moment, Hebrews 2 verse 11b, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. 11a says, both the one who makes men holy, that's Jesus, and those who are made holy, us, were of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says in Psalm 22, to the Lord, I will declare your name, God, to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. Jesus said, I will take my place in the congregation of the wicked, the sinners, the ones that need saving. I'll become one of them. I'll become a brother to them. For he didn't come to help angels. He didn't come to save animals. He came to save people. And so he had to become people, a real human being, like us in every way. Through the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, he came. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he came. He became a man. The eternal Son of God was not ashamed to become part of the human race and call us his brothers and sisters. And that is totally shocking and amazing because the human race had become sinful and despicable, degraded, vile, God haters. And Jesus said, I'm going to join them. I'm going to hang out with them. I'm going to eat and drink with them. I'm going to die for them. There's no other way if he's going to pay for sin other than to come down and share our humanity and become one of Abraham's descendants. It wasn't just a nice thing for God to do. It was necessary. Divine justice required from mankind a full payment for sin. And since nobody from the human race could provide such a payment, God joined the human race to make that payment for us. We want to do it ourselves, As somebody said not so long ago, there's no way that I'm going to get to heaven on the back of somebody else. If I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to do it alone. It ruins the dignity of mankind to get there on somebody else's blood, sweat, and tears. We want to do it ourselves. We don't want somebody to pay for us. But we can't. It's impossible. The price is too big. And we must let God pay the whole price for us. That's the humility of faith. We must let God pay the whole price for us. And then we must accept that payment in faith that God made for us through Jesus. And we must trust the person He provided, that true God, that true man, the Ram of God who takes away the sin of the world. We must give up on ourselves completely. We must die to ourselves. We must depend completely on the mediator God has provided for us, our God and our brother Jesus. Only this person, this God-man, meets the qualifications of a true mediator. We read that in Hebrews 2. For this reason, He had to be made like His brothers in every way. In every way, He became like you and me. He identified with us so closely that the people were offended. The Jews said, this man can't be God. Such an ordinary human being can't be God. He grew up in backwards and backwoods Nazareth. He played in the streets with us as a kid. He ate, he drank, he got weak and tired, he suffered, he was tempted. Hebrews 4 says he was tempted in every way we are. If you just turn ahead there to Hebrews 4 for a moment. Hebrews 4, verse 15. See that, verse 15. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Well, you say he wasn't truly tempted if he never sinned. Not truly tempted as I am. I would argue the opposite. If you're tempted and you give in, you didn't experience the full measure of the temptation. But if you're tempted and you never give in, you experience the full measure of the temptation. Jesus was tempted in every way we are, yet was without sin. He was arrested. He was condemned. He was nailed to a cross. And certainly such a man can't be God, they said. But the good news is, yes, that is God, who became our brother and stood not just at a distance, but came close up and identified with us so closely He made our sin His very own. He made our curse His very own, though He never sinned. He became sin for us. That is, He took the blame. He made our punishment His very own. He took upon Himself the debt that I owe God. And He said, I'll carry that for you, my brother. I'll carry that for you, my sister. You can't carry it yourself. You're going to die eternally trying to carry that. You won't make it. But I'm God and man, and I'll carry that for you. I'll mediate for you. And all over, people are offended by this mediator God has provided. On the one hand, many complain that such an ordinary man can't be God. That was the complaint of the Jews. Such an ordinary man can't be God. They are offended by Him. The proof that He's not God is that He's so weak, they said. He died as a curse on the tree, they said, if you're really the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Save yourself and us. If you're really the Son of God, come down from the cross. Save yourself and us. How can you save us from death if you can't save yourself? That makes sense, doesn't it? How can you save us from death if you can't save yourself? The truth is, He saved us from death by not saving Himself from it. He stayed there on the cross till it killed Him. He went through that hellish agony till it destroyed Him. He became a brother for us the whole way, identifying even with our punishment and not stopping at anything to mediate for us. So the Jews argued, such a man can't be God. On the other hand, the Gentiles said, God can't become a man. The Greeks were offended at that. That's too icky for God. Too degrading for one so lofty to become flesh. Yuck. In no other religion does God get His hands dirty by joining the dirty human race. That's offensive, but the truth is that He did. Though He Himself never sinned, we read in Hebrews 4, verse 15, He was tempted in every way as we are, but He never sinned. He became one of us, and He became sin for us, and He became a curse for us. And that's why He could offer his life as a payment. He was sinless man. And as a sinless man, he could offer to God a sinless sacrifice that was pure and unstained. He never sinned in his body. He never sinned in his mind, his thoughts. He never sinned in his feelings. He never sinned in his motives. He never sinned in his desires. He never sinned in his nature. He never sinned. So when he offered himself as a burnt offering to God, as a sin offering to God, unlike Isaac, he offered an unstained sacrifice that was holy and acceptable to God. But he offered it as one who was also divinely powerful, and he could come out alive on the other side after he went through hell and went all the way to death. That's the true Savior. The whole world needs. It's the only way. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord has provided. He is it. True God and our real brother. United two natures in one person. Don't be offended at him. Come to him who is your brother and who knows your weakness because he became weak like you. And who knows your temptations and struggles personally because he was tempted like you are and struggles like you do. Struggled like you do. Even though he never gave in. In all his life and in his death, he's telling you, I'm the one. Hand your life over to me. Turn your life into me. Let me pay the debt that you owe to God. I can do it. I have done it on the cross. Stop trying to pay your own way to God. It won't work. The wages of sin is eternal death and you can't pay. And every time you try, you make things worse because there's sin in your try and your effort and it just puts you deeper in debt. And that's what we see thirdly. This one is our merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. Hebrews 2, verse 17. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. He, Jesus, the Son of God, the Eternal One, had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. And that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. The Bible teaches something called, I'm going to use two big words, vicarious atonement. Let me explain that. Vicarious atonement. Atonement means paying the price that you owe for your sin so you can make amends with God. Atonement. Paying the price that you owe to the one you've offended, the God you've offended, so you can be restored to fellowship with him. That's atonement. Vicarious means that somebody acts on your behalf, stands in as your vicar, your vicar. Somebody makes that payment for atonement, that pays that price to reconcile you to God in your place because you can't pay it yourself. That's the teaching of Scripture. Jesus, the one who's truly God and at the same time sinless man, is the only one qualified to function as your mediator and high priest, and that offers that perfect sacrifice that pays for all your sin. Jesus died on the cross vicariously. He caught all the wrath of God that was for me. He caught that in his own body. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And as sinful people, congregation, this is exactly whom and what we need. So rather than take the root, the false root of Lord's Day 4, cover for your sin with arguments and excuses and say you're not so bad, the Lori Loughlin root, or Lord's Day 5, try to pay for your own sins with your own dirty good works that are unacceptable to God, or try to borrow dirty good works from some other human being like Mary, rather than those two false roots, go to this man, Jesus, the one and only mediator, who became our high priest in the service of God and offered payment for sin in our place, who was tied to the altar of the cross in our place. So like Isaac, we could be untied from the curse, from the punishment, from the condemnation of God, from the wrath. Untied and set free from eternal death and misery and brought to God Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And if you look ahead, two more chapters, or three more, just look ahead to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, talking about Jesus' high priesthood. Hebrews 7, look at 23 and following. Hebrews 7, 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office of the Old Testament, merely human priests. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him. Because he always lives to intercede for them. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him. In conclusion, two things, congregation. First, as I've already said, go to him with your sin and guilt. No sin is too heavy for him to carry. No guilt is too much for him to pay. I know somebody, not in this congregation, who when she was younger had an abortion and lived under tremendous guilt for many years, believing that this was too much for God to forgive. I don't care what it is that you think is too heavy, or what guilt you think is too big for Jesus to carry. I tell you today, God tells you in his word, that this mediator in this high priest is great enough and human enough to make that his own and pay for it and set you free completely. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. All, whatever your burden is. Throw it on me and I will give you rest. I can carry that. I will carry that. I want to carry that. That's why I came. And secondly, we have good news for the whole world. Everywhere we look, people are carrying heavy burdens. They think maybe they can take care of their own sin, but they can't. And this teaching calls each of us to go to our neighbor with good news. There's a Savior. There's a way out for you. In Jesus, there's salvation and no one else, Acts 4:12. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. As I said earlier, this doctrine makes Christianity a missionary religion. There's one way. It's the only way. It's the way God has provided. And it's the way for all sinners across all ages and all nations of every language and all colors. And God said to Abraham long ago, through your seed, I will bless all the nations of the earth. Through your seed, Jesus. So let's go. Let's go. To the ends of the earth, starting with our neighbors. With that good news of the seed of Abraham, Jesus, who came to bless all the nations of the earth with forgiveness and eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. That you sent your son to become our brother, to land in this sinful human race and perish in our sin. That you sent him is shocking. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. We're offended by it even. And that we should know him by your grace, by the power of your Spirit through the gospel. That we should know him is such wonderful blessing for us. Father, give us faith to run to him and find our rest. May nobody here stay away thinking him not, Jesus not important enough, or Jesus not good enough. But also, Lord, may we run to those who live around us with this good news and share the gospel of the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, given as a ransom for all. In his name we pray. Amen.